Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Happy Friday. Today we are going to be talking about a couple things with GM first, as we do have a relatively lighter Tesla news day. We do have an update from Dan Ives on Tesla in China, a couple of awards for Tesla vehicles, and a few other items as well. Less quiet day for the stock, up almost 5% today, closing at $133.42 on the day. The NASDAQ with a nice day as well, about 2.7% increase there. So Tesla, you know, probably following pretty close to its beta, but still really nice to see. We're actually up about 8% now quietly year to date, although the business has not been quiet. I feel like the stock price creeping up here a little bit has been, and the NASDAQ so far the year to date up about 6%. So not quite outperforming the beta so far in the year, but if we get another couple of days like this, Tesla will be in a pretty good spot. So nice to see that. Let's take a quick look at the calendar as we head into next week first. We do have a couple of macro reports. We'll get the GDP first preliminary report for Q4 next week. That'll be on Thursday. We'll have PCE on Friday. But of course, the big item to watch next week will be Tesla earnings, and that'll be after market close on Wednesday. So it's going to be an interesting report. Say did open question and answers for the question submission process for the earnings call next week today. Obviously, can't really comment too much or influence this. Don't want to influence it too much, but just to kind of run through a couple of the top questions right now, no surprise. After recent price cuts, talking about what's Tesla expects average selling prices and gross margins to be? I think that's a good question. I said I wouldn't comment, but I'm happy to see that. I think Tesla will probably address that. I've got a question here on the 4680 ramp, some stuff on the solar roof, just current production for Tesla Energy, and then the Cybertruck. So those are kind of the top questions right now, but still very early. I would expect these to change. If you are a part of the SAY process, make sure to go vote and get your questions in. There may still be some time to have a shot at getting those into the top five if you act quickly. So again, we'll look forward to that next week. We'll start off here with a couple of GM things in terms of news. So interesting announcement from GM today. They say that they are investing $918 million in four US facilities. All right, seems pretty reasonable so far. They say that is for V8 engine production and EV components. So a bit of a red flag there with the V8 engine production. But if we go down and we look at the breakdown of this $918 million, they say that this is $854 million for the preparation for the company's sixth generation small block V8 engine, and only $64 million across four other plants for castings and components to support EV production. So I guess nice way to get EV components there in the headline, but the predominant majority of this investment GM announcing today is for their next generation V8 engine, which I don't know at this point, especially at this time in the automotive market, when we seem to be heading into what is probably going to be the most difficult year in the automotive market for quite some time, seems like a very odd time to announce a significant investment in a next generation internal combustion engine when presumably GM could continue to work off their older generation during at least this period of time of such dramatic uncertainty in the market, when they need to be investing significantly in electric vehicles. It's just like, I'm not saying that they should, well, I kind of am saying that they should never invest again in V8s, but if they're going to focus on some of their performance vehicles and do some of that, some small investments there, I think that's, you know, not entirely unreasonable, probably not what I would take, the path that I would take, but there's some justification for that in some small categories. But for GM to be doing this at this point in time, again, when we're heading into this very difficult period for the automotive industry, when they need to be and are already behind schedule on their EV plans, need to be investing significantly in that, just strikes me as kind of an odd decision to make at this point in time. So very interesting to see that. And again, the breakdown there, $854 million to the V8 engines and $64 million for EV components. It is interesting that they mentioned castings there. So we'll see what that means. But if you look at this total investment, you know, and we think about Tesla's capital efficiency, $918 million, that's not too far off of being able to at least get a very solid start on something like a Gigafactory. So, you know, interesting choices on top of other interesting choices we have seen from GM. And then we also have an update here from the Wall Street Journal today talking about how GM's plans with LG for a fourth battery cell production facility in the United States have been sort of paused indefinitely. They say shelved indefinitely here, according to people familiar with the matter. They say that GM is still in discussions with at least one other battery supplier. So it sounds like this is primarily coming from LG's side to kind of not consummate that fourth factory. GM said that they are still on track to hit 1 million EV sales annually in North America in 2025. Originally, they had said, I think, 400,000 per year by the end of this year, 2023. They had since pushed that back to mid-2024. Now, with this news on the cell factory plans that they have, maybe those plans weren't critical for this target, but you know, it starts to even look more difficult with every update that we get. So we'll see how long GM sticks with this target, but they did say, you know, again, trying to move forward on a fourth facility with another manufacturer. So Wall Street Journal here says that plans for the fourth factory were scratched in part because LG Energy executives in Korea were hesitant to commit to the project given the rapid pace of LG's recent U.S. investments. They also say that the uncertain macroeconomic outlook was a factor in LG's decision. So again, LG factoring in the macro economy, where we have GM then announcing this investment in V8 production, or V8's next generation V8 engine. So, you know, interesting to see this. As we've been talking a lot about over the last few weeks and even longer than that, we're entering a period of time now where people might have to reconsider a little bit some of the EV plans that they have been talking about and trying to put in place a little bit. Investment capital is tightening up, and as that happens, while simultaneously the businesses probably are in less strong financial shape because the market is becoming more challenging, Tesla, as well as the market, is going to be putting pricing pressure on people. We just talked about the Kia executive talking about that yesterday. So when there is such uncertainty, to be going full speed ahead on your electric vehicle plans when you're not even sure that you can get your electric vehicle to be competitive with what Tesla is doing, and you know Tesla is going to continue to increase production, it just doesn't look like quite as easy as it may have looked a year, 2 years ago. So it sounds like that may be a little bit of a factor here in terms of what LG is doing. Obviously, they've got other factories that they're working with GM on, so it's probably not unreasonable to just be a little bit cautious there given the environment. But again, it's an interesting juxtaposition with the other announcement that we have from GM here today. All right, so moving on from GM, got a couple updates on Tesla. So Dan Ives here, of course, of Wedbush, historically been relatively bullish on Tesla. They say that they have done a survey of over 500 consumers ready to buy an EV in 2023 over the past week. In China, they say that they have found that 76% of Chinese EV consumers are considering buying a Tesla in 2023, with the nearest domestic competitors being BYD in second place and third place for NIO. They don't give us the percentages there for those latter two, but obviously a pretty strong interest, at least in terms of the customers that they surveyed, in buying a Tesla. So, you know, there's a lot of conversation about, okay, are BYD's higher sales because people are preferring BYDs, or is it just a factor that BYD is playing lower in the market and they're more affordable? You know, we've seen that those price volume comparisons where it's just kind of looks like a U-shape, where you've got Tesla on one end owning the volume in the higher end segment, and then you've got BYD on the other end owning the volume in the lower end segment. So I think this shows, again, maybe not the most robust with this amount of people being surveyed, but at least directionally shows that consumers are still aspiring to own Teslas, and obviously the price cuts make that more attainable. They also said that their proprietary survey this week had nearly 70% indicated that the most recent price cuts have positively influenced their decision to more likely purchase a Tesla Model Y compared to the price cuts. So Dan Ives ultimately with the conclusion from the survey that they've run that the survey data is very bullish for Tesla. So nice to hear that. Again, we'll see how that kind of shakes out here as we keep an eye on these weekly insured numbers from Tesla in China for the next couple of weeks. And then, of course, we are now heading into Chinese New Year, so expect to drop as some of that happens, but it's going to be a bit bumpy here, but we'll see, you know, as the quarter shakes out, how these price impacts have, or the price cuts have impacted things. All right, next couple of things, we've got a couple of Car of the Year awards here that Tesla is being recognized for. This is from What Car, and they have done their annual awards, so it's for the 2023 year. Of course, we've just kicked that off, but already crowning Cars of the Years. Of course, that's how it works, because 2022 is old news by now, but the Tesla Model Y has won the Car of the Year Award for 2023 for the Safety Award, and then the Model 3 has been named the Executive Car of the Year by What Car as well. So for the Model Y, they note the strong performance on the Euro NCAP test. Of course, we've talked about that. Tesla, the best performing vehicle there. And then for the Model 3, I liked their little quote in here saying that now that Tesla Model 3 has taken the prized Executive Car of the Year trophy, from the mighty BMW 3 Series, there will be no stopping it. So nice to see that recognition. And of course, I think this is probably a couple of years too old or a couple of years too late at this point, as we have seen, of course, the Model 3 take over that sales leadership position by a significant margin. Also an update here on the Model 3. This is in Germany, recognized today. The February and March delivery date, that's pushed out a little bit from what had previously been a January to March window. That's still what we've got in the United States, or I think actually it's January to February on the Model 3 here, but maybe a good sign to see that being pushed out. But of course, we know with just the delivery wave schedule and all of that being contingent on Giga Shanghai and how they choose to allocate that production, since there's no Model 3 production yet at Giga Berlin, tough to say how much this really is influenced by demand, probably more influenced by however Tesla is managing that shipping schedule. So hardly noteworthy, but some discussion on that, so I wanted to at least touch on that. And then another update here, Tesla has published a new video on their YouTube channel going through the heat pump and some of the advantages that it brings for the vehicle. They also talked on Twitter about how a lot of the philosophies that they apply with the heat pump also apply to battery preconditioning to allow for faster supercharging, especially in cold temperatures. That's definitely been valuable for me up here in the Midwest. So in the video, it talks a lot about just the optimization decisions that they have made and the reasons for those. And a lot of that stuff, for those of us that have followed Tesla closely, are very well aware of. But good to see Tesla doing more of this type of brand awareness type of stuff. And I think it also just shows a good look at, you know, Tesla engineers at work, shows some pretty cool looking environments that they're working in that I think probably, hopefully a little bit inspiring to people that may have aspirations of working at Tesla as well. And then lastly for today, a couple updates on Lucid. Lucid has started to offer a $7,500 discount on leases. So there may be, it's kind of interesting, I need to look more into this, but there are some differences in terms of the IRA tax credit structure with leases. So I'm not sure if this is anything to do with that from Lucid, but interestingly, they are matching that amount, $7,500 discount for leasing that happens through Lucid financing. And then another update here, as we've talked about previously with Lucid inventory, car dealership guy who's done a really good job on Twitter of following things in the used car market and elsewhere, has noted that there was a dealership auction today that popped up, I believe today, that had a Lucid Air Dream Edition, which retails for $169,000. 2,500 miles on this vehicle, and the bid that, you know, the asking bid for this auction, $110,000, did not even clear, so the vehicle did not sell at that price. So, you know, the challenges that we talk about with Tesla and having some price cuts to hopefully resolve those as we have higher interest rates and things like that, higher production. Lucid, as we talked about for Q4, I think they sold roughly half, maybe 60% of their production. So inventory is building for them. And as they are now also ramping up production, it's going to be really interesting to see the choices that they have to make this year. So heading into interesting times, heading into an interesting week next week with the earnings report. But for now, we'll wrap it up for this week. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you next week on Monday for the January 23rd episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.